Well, good morning. It's good to see each one of you here. I like to see all those smiling faces. It always brings joy to my heart. As you can see, the topic this morning that the Lord has impressed upon my heart and mind is faith. And if you see those hands are raising up in the air, that's all those, all Christians, all those who believe in Christ, and they're raising their hands. Yes, I have faith. And so what I want to do is kind of define it, and then be able to show you in the scriptures the different aspects that goes along with that definition concerning faith and what the expectation is from the Lord. So the very first one, if my little deal works, which it's not working, that's great. I thought it was on. Oh, there we go. Okay. There we go. Okay, this is the scriptural definition of faith. So we can find it in Hebrews in the 11th chapter and verses 1 and 6. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in our Sunday school, we were talking about that in the book of Revelation toward the end of the chapter, speaking of those things that were to come and things that we have not seen, we can only think about and dream about or contemplate about, those things that God has prepared for those who will be a part of his kingdom. And then verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's a very important aspect of the scriptural definition of faith. We need to remember that. We need to kind of place it in our heart and have it before us. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's the other aspect of that word faith. It requires effort. It requires more than just say, I believe. Okay? And now I'm in the 16th chapter, verse 143, it says, and now as I said concerning faith, faith is not to have a perfect knowledge of things. And I believe that we will never have a perfect knowledge of all those things that God would have us to know and understand. And one day we will, when if we are privileged to be a part of his kingdom, we will. But in this life, it is a journey towards perfection. Therefore, if you have faith, if you truly have that full definition of faith, you have hope. What? For things which are not seen, which are true. Okay? So that's those two verses of scripture in Hebrews and Alma, I believe, is a good framework for us to think about faith. Okay? So let's go to the next thing here. Oop, let's go the other way. So, I'm going to point out there's two types of faith. The first one is the natural man or the carnal faith. And it's its approach, okay? In the framework of those who are believing in Christ, okay? And then there's the spiritual man or the sanctified in Christ faith. And so in Matthew in the 7th chapter, verse 20, it says, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them, the words of Christ. So with these two types of faith that is prevalent without Christianity, and I want to emphasize it concerning Christianity as a whole. Those who have raised their hands says, I believe in Christ. Christ expects, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them, if they're his. If truly they are applying their faith according to what Christ expects of those who say that they believe in him. So let's go to the first one. Whoop. Ah, boy, I'm sorry. I'll get it right yet. the natural man or carnal faith. Let's look in Matthew in the 7th chapter, verses 21 through 23. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So we see there is that division in our faith. Like I said, those two types of faith. So in the words of Christ, the individuals that he is speaking here, they end up being the carnal man. They have not journeyed, made that perfection, as Christ said, in that second faith, that faith that Christ is looking for, that he could apply his blood to you in your lives. So in James, the 2nd chapter, verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." And this gives you that idea, helps you to understand it even more. Even the devils believe that there is a Christ, but we know that they have no part or portion in the kingdom of God. So just having that knowledge and say, yeah, I believe in Christ, there's more to that picture. And that transformation from the carnal man to the spiritual man is what Christ is looking for. So in Mosiah, 1st chapter 119, "For the natural man is an enemy of God and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever." And so that's where that definition comes, the natural man, concerning that faith. So let's look at the spiritual man, sanctified in Christ faith. And there's a few scriptures I have here in Hebrews, starting with Hebrews in the 11th chapter, verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, how do we do that? You know? There looks like when I read this scripture, and I know through experience, there is this thing that unfolds in the life of those who follow that path of the spiritual man towards perfection through the blood of Christ. And as I continue on here, I hope that you can see that picture, because I'm going to try and point those different things out. In James, in the 2nd chapter, verses 18 and then 20 and then 26. 18, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." I think about John, James, the brother of Christ in the flesh. Their brothers struggled with Christ. They watched him very closely. And you can see that as it plays out when Christ was alive and was with them. And they saw all those things and experienced those things. And yet, it wasn't until they were not converted until he was resurrected. And I think how appropriate is it for James to be talking about faith and what his brother spoke of when he was alive and walking in his demonstration and his example and what he was calling mankind to that higher place before God. I like that. And in some aspects, you know, there's this big challenge between the different Christian beliefs. They look at the writings of Paul and they say, well, and they look at that, oh, it's just by grace. And then all of a sudden you see James talk about something a little bit different. So is there a conflict there? Only if you pick apart Paul and only take certain aspects of Paul's writings. Because Paul defines it the same way that James does even here. But he takes a long time to do it. And he's looking at two different groups of people when Paul is talking about faith. Paul was talking about those that were of the carnal man, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and those who were prideful and said, you know, we believe in God and the law of Moses, and we're perfect before him, you know. And James is talking about, and they both use the same example, Abraham and Rahab, in their teachings, but they both come to the same conclusion. That by our works, we prove our faith. And it's imputed to us as righteousness. That when we step out in faith, like when Peter was beckoned to come out of the boat, and he stepped out and he started walking, he actually was walking on the water until he took his eye off of Christ and was concerned about what was going on in the natural world. And what happened? He sunk. And that same visage I want you to have in your heart and mind when you think about faith. Something that comes in your life that is very difficult or whatever. There is nothing difficult for God to help you to overcome and help you to have the victory in Him. If you keep your eyes focused upon Christ. Moroni in the 7th chapter, verse 4. And now, my brethren, I judge these things of you because of your peaceful walk with the children of men. For I remember the word of God, which saith, by their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they are good also. And we even read the different things when it says that they were those who didn't even have a belief, but the things that they were doing in their life were righteous and accounted unto them for righteousness because they were right before God in that sense without the law. That's the concept we're talking about here. Forsake all. This is the first segment. Why? Why should we forsake all? Psalms 14, 2 through 3. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Ecclesiastes 7, 20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if we don't believe that, then we don't believe why Christ came and offered his life, the blood, that we might be redeemed from the fall of Adam. Think about it. He went to that extent just to clean the slate, to help us have a new footing in that spiritual walk. 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So what is that pointing out? What is the message from those verses of Scripture? None of us are justified before our God. So when we approach our God, how should we approach him? If he was here before us today, if he came before us, what would be the first thing you would do? Imagine in your heart and mind. I would be on my knees. That's the seriousness. And that's the reality of our God in his omnipotence and our nothingness. And our attitude should always be that way in all things, to all people, to show that we've all sinned and to recognize that in others as well. So what must we do? Romans in the 8th chapter, verse 13. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now what does that word mortify mean? Put to death. Make it non-effect. Mosiah 2, 13 and 16. Believe in God. Believe that he is, that he created all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. That is that spiritual man realizing, applying his faith, acknowledging his position before his God. Relying upon the blood of Christ to cleanse him, to make him whole, and justified, sanctified before him. A parable. I like this parable because it shows the contrast between those two faiths, okay, and how God looks at it, okay? This is the words of Christ in Luke in the 18th chapter, verses 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standeth afar off, would not lift up so much as an eye into heaven, but smote upon his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, meaning put down before Christ. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So when I read early in those verses of scriptures where it said, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things? This is a very good parable to see what he was referring to. And how they would try in their works to justify their spiritual walk with Christ. And that's approaching it in a wrong way. And not acceptable before Christ. Forsake all, I trust. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. How easy is it for us to rationalize and do all those kinds of things and not do what God has asked us to do, or to see ourselves as who we really are. I think about James when he talks about faith. And he talks about those who behold themselves in a mirror and then they forget who they really are. A charade. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. 2 Nephi 11:39 and then 43-44. Yea, behold, I say unto you that as these things are true and as the Lord God liveth, there is none other name given under heaven save it be this Jesus Christ, which I have spoken, whereby man can be saved. For we labor diligently to write and to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all that we can do. That sounds like the words of Paul, isn't it? And that was the crux of Paul's point, as well as James. And Nephi knows very well, and he talks about it. Remember when he was expounding and he was looking at himself in a mirror and he said, oh, wretched man that I am. All these things God has done with me. And yet I see my weakness, my humanness before my God. But I praise him for the things that he's done with me in my life. Basically because of his faith and his diligence to follow after the things that God had commanded him to do. He was faithful in that. So by his works, he proved his faith and others as well. The words of Nephi, 2 Nephi in the third chapter, verse 31 through 34. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord in shewing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am. Yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. Do you have that same feeling in your heart and mind? Do you see that struggle in your own lives? If you do, you're not alone. But there's a way out. There is a way to recover yourself. There's a way to claim the victory in Christ. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. And then the last part of that, and I didn't copy it down. Very nice. Let's go to it. 2 Nephi, third chapter. And we're going to read verses. I can see up here, verses 61 through 66, because it's important. O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in men, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness, that Christ imputes upon the children of men who follow him. I think about in the Book of Mormon, and I've mentioned it before, it's either the 16th chapter of Alma or the 19th chapter, bound verse 119. But you find there where the prophet Zenos, and they were quoting the prophet Zenos, and it was talking about a time when Israel was in the wilderness, and they were being bitten by serpents. And it's a very good analogy here of what I'm talking about. And you know that story, that when they got bit, they were dying. And they went to Moses and says, "Help us, we're dying. Can you do something for us?" And he told Aaron to put one of those serpents on a staff and go up on a hill. And the Lord told him, if you would look to that staff with that serpent, if you would look, you will not die. And it said there were those who looked and they didn't die. But it also says, Lord, thou art angry with thy people, because there were many who refused to look. Why? What does it say? Because they did not believe that it would heal them. How many times in our own life, these things in our lives that come in our life, they're too hard. No one can take care of it. No one can help me. Who's talking? Is that Christ talking in your heart, or is it Satan? It's important to understand these things and to know that there's nothing impossible if you abide in Christ. Nothing. Forsake all, I trust him. So 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So Ether in the 5th chapter, verse 7, wherefore dispute not, because you see not, for you receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. And that's an important part of all this, that even when they were talking about Abraham and Rahab at the time, when, you know, James was given those two as an example concerning their works, and then Paul talking about Abraham, that it was imputed unto him as righteousness in the 15th chapter of Genesis. But then when you get over to the, I think, the 20th chapter or whatever, when he was about ready to offer Isaac, and what was the words of that came to him? Now I know that you believe. Now I know. But it was already imputed unto him in righteousness in that 15th chapter when the Lord gave him that promise that he would have seed, that this land would be his. And it was a blessing that came from the Lord. And it would be a blessing to all the children of men. And what about Rahab? The harlot. What about her? What did she do? Well, when Israel sent out spies to Jericho to see how they would go about to destroy the city, and the king of that city came to, when they found out there was a couple of strangers in there over at Rahab's place, and so she hid them really quickly. And the king came and said, hey, you know, you need to let us know about this. Where are they? Oh, they went off. They went off. I don't know where they went. So they ran off in the wilderness trying to find them. And then she covenanted with those two servants that you would preserve my family. And why was she talking to them in the beginning? She saw and knew about, heard about all the things that God had done to the children of Israel. And this was Joshua working at the time, destroying these different cities by the power of God. And she said, that same God. She had a fear and acknowledged it and knew that if she asked, she could receive that favor, and she did. What's even really interesting, which I didn't even know until I was doing this study, that Rahab is part of the lineage of Christ. You find that in Matthew 1:5. Thank you, Joel. You know too. I'm going. Our merciful God, that's who he is. How merciful is he? We can't fathom the depth of his mercy and love for his children. So you saw those two examples, Abraham, who was the father of all the nations, and then this harlot. And both because of their belief and faith and applying their faith, they received a blessing from God, no matter who they are. The words of Christ, 3 Nephi 12, 32 to 33. 32, therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood. Because of their faith, I should have highlighted and underlined it, because of their faith and repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end, that enduring faith, applying those principles in your life and never forgetting that there's nothing impossible for God to help you to in your life to overcome and to be a part of him. The only thing that will hinder us is ourselves and our unbelief. Now, this is the commandment: repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified, cleansed by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that you may stand spotless before me at the last day. Now, if you go into your Bible and in the Gospels and the New Testament, when they talk about saints, that word saint is the same word as the word holy. Okay? It's the same word, 220 some times. It's interchangeable. When you're talking about the Holy Ghost, holy is the descriptive of the Ghost. And when they talk about saint, it's holy. And why is it? Because they have the Spirit of God with them, identifying them as his people. They are him. They're a part of him. Forsake all, I trust him. Or if you want to say, forsake all, I take him, Christ. I hope and pray that this made some sense, that you could see the difference of the two types of faith within the Christian world. And that you might consider in your own life, if there's things that you need to improve or to change, never fear. Put your trust in the one who gave his life that we might have life. May God bless you in that travel.